Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show, folks. I hope you enjoy this discussion coming up. I think it's another really excellent interview with James Musker. Before I get into it, I just want to say, check if you are still subscribed to our YouTube channel, and if you're not, subscribe or resubscribe. I've had a number of people telling me that YouTube has been unsubscribing them from our A Minute to Midnight YouTube channel without reason. And that sucks. I'm sorry to say, it's probably another form of stealthy censorship. So just check if you are subscribed, and maybe leave a comment on the video about this as well. So hope you will enjoy the show coming up. Want to offer a big warm welcome to James Musker again on the A Minute to Midnight show. James has been now on the show a few times, and I always find our conversations extremely fascinating, James, so it's great to be talking to you in the UK again today.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Tony. It's a pleasure to be here on A Minute to Midnight.
Yeah, and I'm sure this will be just as interesting as the other discussions we've had. So what is the main focus today?
Yeah, we're going to look at the United Religions Initiative, at what is the main part of the multi-faith rollout of the New World Religion. They are the largest and most important group involved in this, and we can see that it's directly in line with the United Nations and uncannily the writings of Alice A. Bailey. So I don't seek to advertise URI, because I think all religions becoming greyed out and joining together is an untenable concept. On one side, it could be an idea, but as always, because it's promoted by the hidden government or the cryptocracy, I believe it will cause major friction this century. And it's in line with the Bible, of course.
Yes, it certainly is. And yeah, we see the whole move towards a global religion along with global government happening all the time in an increasing rate. And it's really interesting to know, as you say, that the United Religions Initiative has had ties to Theosophy and Alice Bailey's teaching. So I'm going to be interested to see what you bring out in this.
Thanks then, Tony. So, yeah, we've looked at the economy, we've looked at politics, and Peter Drucker's three-legged stool model, where you've got the three legs in the stool, that if they're all together in compatibility, then it all works. But if one of them, the other element being society or religion, is not present in the three-legged stool, then society doesn't flourish and can even collapse. So religion is the most difficult area for the cryptocracy to deal with. And their idea really is to subdue the religions, and it's the only major area which has not been dealt with by them. So to get to the New World Order and the neo-feudal serf state that they want, they have to destroy all religions first. It sounds odd, but a good knowledge of this strategy which they are employing will therefore give you a good idea of how long we are away from the emergence of the New World Order.
Yeah, true. Now, just very quickly, who was Peter Drucker? People might be wondering.
Yeah, he was an economist and a business sort of management consultant, and he wrote a lot of mainly management and how business works, books about that. But he had this concept which is in line with the Bible, I suppose, Revelation, that he mentions. So yeah, it's a good theory. And we looked at before the beliefs of the elite, which were Freemasonry, Kabbalah, witchcraft and occultism, and they want to keep that element pure for themselves, and they want to destroy Christianity and bring all humanity into their Masonic society. And it's part of the hidden government's DNA, occultism. There have always been occultists and into witchcraft. And it's about those who consider themselves superior. They consider themselves superior, and they've conspired against their fellow man to gain power. So it's a new form. If there is a new form of religious fad or religion, they hide behind it. And these people have ended up infiltrating our governments and they use secret societies as a method of communicating within an occult framework, and thereby forming policy and enabling power to be held within their group. So these occult methods are used by the rulers of our nations, going back to Nimrod and Genesis in chapter 11, the Tower of Babel, where we can first see the concept of one faith. And just to give you a little bit more of the overall picture, the occult communication system goes back to the Knight Templars, when the Crusaders deposited their money and wealth at the Knight Templar Bank. They knew they could withdraw that money at another Knight Templar institution or castle in the Holy Land. So in order to make it work, they had to devise methods of making sure the person who deposited the money was the same person taking it out thousands of miles away. And so they devised secret methods of communication, such as bank checks and notes, etc., with hidden meanings, so they could identify the holder of the deposit. And this is where the link to the occult crops up. They also used witnesses to confirm the identity, but when they weren't around, they used questions and answers, codes, and special ciphers, numbers, passwords, etc. And so this system of communication created a secret society, and eventually this went on to form Freemasonry. So
that's an interesting piece of history. And actually, I'm thinking too, I know Alice Bailey was, in her books talked about kind of a linking chain of occultists. I don't remember if that's the exact word she used, but that was the gist of it.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, she used to look at people in history and claim them for her own. Obviously, Jesus was there, who she claimed as a Christ, etc. So yeah, we're going to look at that. But the main point that I wanted to make about that is that banking has had to be done in secret, and the occult is one way in which they did this. And that's why you've got this intersect with bankers at the top, the rulers of money creation, secret societies, and also the secret services such as CIA. They all have a good knowledge of the occult, and it's a method of control via their symbols, etc. So they're all sort of in it together.
Very interesting.
But how are they going to bring everyone into their system? Well, they have to pacify the religions, and the real end game for the hidden government is this New World Luciferian religion. This is what they're interested in, and it's of great importance looking at how the cryptocracy will bring the world into their Masonic society, and it fits in with the Bible precisely. Revelation 13, we have politics, economy, and religion, the three main areas, as we mentioned before with Peter Drucker. So in verse 7 of Revelation 13, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And then in verse 12, the satanic one world religion, and he exercises all authority and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. So we've got the religion where they're worshipping the beast. And those who don't worship the beast will be killed. In verse 15, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And so we've got that, and that fits in with Alice A. Bailey. We're going to look at that. And verse 17, the economy, no one can buy and sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast. So there's some scriptures to back up the overall thesis that this is what is slowly emerging, and Uri is part of it. We're going to come on to that in a moment. But they're going to get us there by indoctrination, subtle manipulation, and recalibrating everyone's moral code. In the end, it's probably going to be legislation. And it was Edward Bernays back in 1928 in his book Propaganda, was perhaps the first book to discuss the manipulation of the masses by the government and how they're using spin and propaganda to do this. So I'm just going to quickly read a quote from the first page of his book. Those who manipulate the unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. This is the logical result of the way in which our democratic society is organized. Vast numbers of human beings must cooperate in this manner if they are live together in a smooth functioning society. So he's saying that in order for society to be around, it's a good thing that these people are here. And then later on, it says, it is they who pull the wires which control the public mind. And so that's, he's explaining the hidden government behind this, pulling the wires, pulling the religions, pulling everything in the direction that they want. And of course, if we look at the protocol number 14, number one, I've got another quote here. When we come into our kingdom, it will be undesirable for us that there should exist any other religion than ours of the one God with whom our destiny is bound up by our position as the chosen people and through whom our same destiny is united with the destinies of the world. We must therefore sweep away all other forms of belief. And so forgetting about the slightly anti-Semitic bit there, because that was put in afterwards as we theorize. Right. So.
I have no problem with that. I think the protocols were a coded document, basically, and it is a Luciferian document ultimately. It was put together, I think, by Illuminists following after Adam Weishaupt. That's my opinion on it.
So. I totally agree, yes. And it's probably a document that was written over the course of decades.
Yeah.
We did look at that in one of our other talks. Mm.
One other thing I was just going to mention is when you were reading the scriptures on Revelation, I think a lot of people overlook the fact that it talks about worshipping the beast. It's not just a system where you put a microchip in your hand or whatever. There's a worship aspect involved in it, and people often forget that.
So, yes, they have to get us all the way, not only to accepting sort of Satanism, but also to worship. So it's a terrifying picture.
Mm, it is.
But part of the system on how they're going to manage this is the United Religions Initiative. And this is the largest global interfaith movement. And they are seeking to find common ground between all the world's religions. And it was actually a movement it was an outgrowth from the Parliament of World Religion, started in 1893. And it's interesting to note that the event was celebrated by another conference held 100 years later, obviously in 1993. And in that same year, Boutros Ghali, who was then head of the UN, gave the task of preparing for the United Nations Global 50th Anniversary Party or observances to Gillian Sorensen. She is a CFR member and still on the roster of conspirators. In February 1993, Gillian Sorensen then asked Bishop William Swing if he would host the 50th anniversary of the United Nations meeting for the religious aspect of this. They said they wanted all the world's religions and all the world's religious leaders to be at that meeting. I quote, they were saying that there would never be peace among the nations unless there be peace among the religions. Also that since there's a United Nations, there ought to be a United Religions. So to get all the religions together, Bishop Swing then went all over the world for 5 months talking to all the religious leaders and trying to sell this concept of joining with him and forming groups, talking, self-organized groups. And he went around the world talking and asking the question, are you ready to deputize someone from your tradition to meet with deputies from other traditions to pursue peace among religions and work together to serve the world. And they all had the same answer. And the answer was, absolutely not. Well, seems odd, but why did they say that? Well, the reason for this that Bishop Swing quite rightly gives is that as a religious leader, their role is to defend their faith, and this involves defending rival claims from other religions. So if your religion is the most authentic, how can you be equal to other people at the table? So they didn't want to support this movement. Well, in my mind, maybe this is where the project should have ended. Don't stir up faiths. If the leaders have said don't do it, don't go around them. But they continued, as I'll explain. But don't try and force them to join together. Yes, they can talk. They can hold meetings and meet up, play sports together. That's all brilliant. I'm not saying they can't do that.
Yeah.
They can discuss. Yeah. We haven't got a problem with any of that. It's fantastic. Muslims, Christians, Hindus, everyone getting together, playing football, whatever it is, absolutely excellent. But in my opinion, it isn't good that they're trying to find a unifying principle. This oversteps the mark. And so he returned back, Bishop Swing, this is William Swing, in 1996, back to San Francisco, decided to sort of pick himself up and work at the bottom, as it were, the normal man in the street and grassroots, and then work up. He set up an office with a small staff, and he went to the bank, asked for $1 million loan, and he got it. Mm-hmm. So it was a setup. He then had help from business gurus like D. Hock and other elite devising how he could create Yuri. They choose D. Hock because he created Visa, which is an international payment system with obvious massive global reach,
yeah,
and which grew organically and without organization. And this is what they were hoping for Yuri to do also. He then spent 4 years creating the United Religions Initiative Charter, which is a set of statements that every religion could agree on. By 2000, the Yuri Charter was translated into many different languages, and within a few years, they became the largest international faith organization in the world. Their global head office is in San Francisco at the Presidio, and they coordinate the global network and provide funding for the regional offices and their programs. Their organization is governed by a democratically elected board chosen by the cooperation circles, which are the meeting circles, which you'll come on to. Yuri's work at the United Nations also connects the voices of the grassroots with institutional leaders and policymakers. So here are a few very quick principles from the Yuri Charter. So the principles. The Yuri is a bridge-building organization, not a religion. Number two, we respect the sacred wisdom of each religion, spiritual expression, and indigenous tradition. Three, we respect the differences among religions, spiritual expressions, and indigenous traditions. So it goes on like that. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, if you say there's something wrong with that, you're going to lose the argument because it's reasonable and inclusive and fairly decent. But the fact for me, people like me, it makes them feel uneasy about being pushed around like sheep. That fact isn't really an argument, but an opinion.
Mm.
You see, I see Fabian permeation there.
Yes.
The slow.
Yeah. Same way they're doing with socialism, isn't it?
Yes. The slow.
Yeah.
Infiltration of the religious traditions to divert them towards something else.
Yeah.
The Fabianist system.
Yeah.
But others would say, well, you know, live and let live and all the rest
of
it.
Well, actually, it's interesting you mention the Fabian system because it's some of the same players like the Rothschild family and all that in the Fabian socialist links all the way back. And they also have links into uniting of religions too, because I've discovered links to there before with business groups, you know, interrelating between them and, Evelyn de Rothschild was one of the big players in setting up that at one point. So, same sort of players involved in the socialism and this religion, you know, uniting sort of thing.
Yes. Evelyn de Rothschild is an extremely important member, obviously, of the cryptocracy and arguably one of the top three that we kind of know about.
Yes. Yep.
So, yeah, well, the next question, what is a cooperation circle and how does it work? Yuri set up cooperation circles, which are simply meetings whereby people from different religions can meet up and self-organize about any issue they want. It has to have 7 members from at least 3 religious traditions or expressions of religious faith. It could include agnostics or atheists. And they work on 2 levels, by giving people of different backgrounds a chance to work together and by tackling important community issues their members care about. So by 2020, Yuri expects to have more than 1 million individuals engaged in peace building work as part of over 1,000 cooperation circles working in more than 100 countries. To meet the challenge of this rapid growth, Yuri has embarked on a strategic planning process that engages people at the grassroots in evaluating Yuri's on-the-ground impact and setting the direction of the organization. Rather than relying on outside experts to tell communities what they need, Yuri believes that with regular support and the right resources, communities can solve their own problems and build a positive future for all people. Yuri has launched the Yuri 2020 campaign for long-term sustainability and growth, which includes an international fundraising effort to establish a core endowment for the work of the global network. So, yes, nothing wrong there. They're creating peace. They're doing their best to help people. And in some countries like Pakistan, it really, really is needed. So they're doing some good work. However, we come on to this concept that they're creating common ground, preparing the world for a new age, creating watered down beliefs, all sorts of dodgy concepts that have been creeping in. So one of them is their attempt to find common ground or a unifying principle. And this is partly looking at the religions of the world and deciding which elements overlap. A bit like a Venn diagram, the obvious example is Abraham for Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. But also, Bishop Swing wrote that everyone will be invited to bring their best, richest, deepest stories to the common ground, and there we will build. The main concept is one of a wider and more inclusive set of global beliefs where the emphasis will be putting the diverse religions and gods on an equal footing. And then it goes on to quote, "It does not depend on reaching a consensus of vision as much as it aims to create an ever widening, more inclusive set of global visions and relationships that enliven local action on behalf of the emerging united religions. As such, it responds to the challenge of creating a transboundary organization in the postmodern world where imposing a single vision can only lead to failure. So later on, what's this concept of the common purpose or the more widening, more inclusive set of global visions and relationships? We're not too sure what that really is. And the idea in some of the writings of Bishop Swing, he mentions that he'd like there to be someone that comes forward and can find this common ground concept. One of the questions in his book is, what about the voice that speaks not for one faith tradition, but for numerous faith traditions together? What they want and need is a thoughtful voice bearing the wisdom of sacred traditions, an authoritative voice that comes out of the refining process of religions dealing with religions about real life issues." That's a quote from his book, William Swing. So why are they joining the religions together is an important question, I think. And obviously, they believe that most of the world's violence is being caused by the religions. And to create peace, and they can join together. So in some areas of the world, yes, this is certainly true. But it's also seeming to be that they can join religions, so they're all going to be the same, grayed out humanity, so that we can coexist and get along. It's to create a secular post-religious world. That's really what they're heading towards. And it links in with theosophy at that level, that it's about creating the new age. And the biggest problem with this is that once you remove religion, the state will be there in the center of society. And this is disastrous for personal freedoms, since the state is always being infiltrated by the predator class. And once the religions aren't there, then the state will come in and fill the vacuum.
Which is what's happening in China, where it's pretty much illegal. You know, kids have to go to kindergarten, they have to renounce any faith in religions and so on. It's diabolical. In fact,
absolutely.
I believe communism's not atheism. It's basically rooted in Satanism and Luciferianism.
Yes. That's right. When you remove religion, the state steps in, and when the state steps in, it's occultism and all of their beliefs at the top, and eventually leading to Satanism. And China's been a testbed for practically everything that they've been doing over the last 10, 20, 30 years. Maybe not 30 years, but 20 years. So,
agreed.
Yeah. The Urey proposals are the criticisms that I have about Urey is that it's squashing Christian evangelism in the name of promoting interreligious peace. It's also marginalizing Orthodox Christians as fundamentalists and intolerant, preparing the way for a new global spirituality that can accommodate domesticated forms of all current religions and spiritual movements, promoting a new collectivist global ethic, and the idea that the main goal of religion is social reform rather than service to God, and that faiths that were meant to serve God ending up serving men. And the idea that all religions and spiritual movements are equally true and equally valid as ways to attain communion with God. And then it leads on further to Agenda 21, population control, especially in the third world countries. And lastly, providing a global podium and respectability for occultism, witchcraft, theosophy, cultism, and other spiritually harmful religious movements. And this agenda isn't directly written into the charter, but it is evident plainly in many of their public statements and the actions of their leaders and their allies. So I would say, you know, guilty as charged. You can't have a multi-faith religion in which everyone has the truth. The truth is, by definition, exclusive. And we would quote John 14, no one comes to the Father but by me. John 14:6. And in Acts 4:12, nor is there salvation in any other faith, for there is no other name under heaven among men by which we must be saved. So, you know, the line's been drawn in the sand, and the fact that it's these concepts are being brought forward by a Christian Episcopal so-called bishop, you know, it almost makes it worse. And we don't really need some sort of centralized core belief religion, I don't think. URI is a non-governmental organization with consultative status within the United Nations Economic and Social Council, and it has a long standing with several other UN agencies. But the elite should not be using religions as tools in their systems to get what they want, to control us and keeping us from following God's path. They want you to follow their Illuminati path.
Yes.
Yeah. Our own destinies. Yeah, different.
Yeah. And of course, Pope Francis is also doing a similar thing with his meeting with Islam, with leaders of Islam. And of course, he's always going on about climate change and sustainability goals and all of that. A vicar of Christ, yeah, right. I mean, supposed successor of St. Peter. Well, I can't imagine St. Peter going around talking more about climate change than getting people saved. I think that's a joke.
It is. It is, Tony. And the climate change feeds into Agenda 21, greying out all religions and creating a society where we're all sort of under the cosh in this, like in a Chinese factory. Yeah. So, the total control is the answer. That's what they want to have. And so in order to do this, destroying the religions is part of it. And Yuri are also liars, though, really, because they pretend that it's grassroots, although it's funded by the people for the people. It's funded by the authority of the UN with a bit of smoke and mirrors to hide the trail. And of course, do you really think the United Nations and the Findhorn Foundation and other well-known groups would be promoting Yuri if it wasn't part of their agenda?
Well, Findhorn Foundation, you had David Spangler, who's, I think he's, well, was the head of it. I don't know if he still is, but, talking about no one will enter the New World Order unless they are Luciferians.
Yes,
that quote's been pushed all over the place. But, because he is Findhorn Foundation. And if they're pushing Yuri, what does that tell you?
Yes, it's not a good situation. And they're trying to create an interfaith temple where worshippers can take the spiritual direction from a new text or a scripture that they would authorize to us. And it might be a combination of the Torah, the Bible, the Quran, and everything else. In its broadest sense, this is possibly about the destruction of all cultures through homogenization. They want us living in a world where the children are the same, be they brought up in California, New Zealand, Shanghai, London, Munich, everywhere, that all the children believing the same New Age religion, worshipping the same God, playing the same sports, wearing the same clothes, watching the same movies, etc., all eventually leading to them worshipping the same great amalgamated savior. So, and this leads on to why we think Yuri will morph one day into something else. And we've seen it so many times before, that underhanded, manipulative groups are set up by the cryptocracy, which slowly change into something totally different from what they were promised to be at outset. And there's already evidence for this, since when I started researching Yuri, there was no mention overtly that the UN were funding them. This was a little secret of theirs. But I've spotted, updating my research, in the last month or so, that it's now in the open.
Okay.
So Yuri claims it's having meetings with all the religions to foster peace, and no one can really win that argument, saying that isn't good. But what is more likely to happen is that this common ground religion, which they are creating, will become a yardstick and comparator for all the other traditions. In other words, their version of religion, however broad, will become the only state-authorized version of faith. And this is a real problem, because it's forcing believers into something that they don't want to be part of. So I think, what's wrong with saying we don't like Yuri? We shouldn't be giving them equal platform to all religions. What's wrong with asking the question, we want to go along with Yuri in terms of the peace building projects, but we don't want to go along with them in terms of the fact that they're trying to grey out religions and make us all the same. We need to push back against that narrative. So we need to have the mind control masses wake up. Christianity, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so if Yuri is tied in with the United Nations, like you're just discovering more and more, well, we know that the Lucius Trust is right in the middle of the United Nations, and Lucius Trust, of course, was founded by Alice Bailey, And so the links to theosophy, I would imagine, must be there between the two groups in order for them to be in the hub of the United Nations. What say you on that?
Yes, the UN and URI are almost exactly on the same page with Alice A. Bailey. For example, here's a quote from The Destiny of Nations, which was written in 1949. From Alice A. Bailey, she stated, "Thus the expressed aims and efforts of the United Nations will be eventually brought to fruition, and a new Church of God gathered out of all religions and spiritual groups will unitedly bring to an end the great heresy of separateness." This is the heresy of separateness, that she felt that all religions had made a mistake and that they should be all joined and they all meet together. They all have an element of truth within them, etc. And the other quote that Alice Bailey, that I'd like to give, there are a couple here. She expected the United Nations, which she called she expected the new religion, which she called the Church Universal, to emerge by the close of the 20th century. That is just in time for the formation of URI. She said, "Eventually there will appear the Church Universal, and its definite outlines will appear towards the close of this century. In this connection, forget not the wise prophecy of HPB, which Helena Blavatsky, as touching events at the close of this century." So that's a quote from Externalization of the Hierarchy.
Very interesting, yes.
Yeah. And later on, we've got another quote from Alice A. Bailey, where she states that the traditions would be replaced by a new religion. So that religion is very close to their own beliefs. The reorganization of the world religions, if in any way possible, so that their outdated theologies, their narrow-minded emphasis, and their ridiculous belief that they know what is in the mind of God may be offset, in order that the churches may eventually be the recipients of spiritual inspiration. The gradual dissolution, again, in any way possible, of the Orthodox Jewish faith, with its obsolete teachings, its separative emphasis, its hatred of the Gentiles, and its failure to recognize the Christ. In saying this, I do not fail to recognize those Jews throughout the world who acknowledge the evils and are not Orthodox in their thinking. They belong to the aristocracy of spiritual belief in which the hierarchy itself belongs. Preparation for a new revelation, which will inaugurate the new era and set the note for the new world religion. That's the quote from Externalization of the Hierarchy. I mentioned that in the book. So
it's interesting, because a lot of, for those that don't know, the hierarchy she's talking about is a spiritual hierarchy of ascended masters. And I've just got a couple of Bailey quotes here. One of them surprised me a little bit. It was from Esoteric Philosophy, one of her other books, and it's talking about May, because we're in the month of May, and it says, "The month of May is one of the deepest significance to all who are affiliated with the Great White Lodge," that is the supposed ascended masters, that is the Great White Lodge, that's what she's talking about, "and that in the Wesak festival," which is basically it's a Buddhist festival that celebrates Buddha's birthday and so on, takes place and is of the moment of deep importance. And then I'll skip a bit, and she says, "May I also add that the Buddha himself, in his high place, and the blessed Maitreya, known to Christian disciples as the Christ, have since then been in close communication with each other and cooperating." I'll skip a bit more, and down at the bottom a bit more, it says, "to turn the tide of the present distress, depression, and uncertainty, and thus inaugurate an era of peace and of soul culture." So that is, again, you know, the whole uniting of religions in a sense with the Christianity and Buddha and so on there. But yeah, she considered May to be an important month for it.
Right, that's interesting. That month she singled out. Yes. She was very into astrology and Yeah, she was an astrological racist as well, because she believed in the root races, and different astrological charts were telling her different things. So it's extraordinary. But eventually she does mention that it'll be a spiritual totalitarianism that the coming world state will lead to. And she talks about the Aquarian age, which is to do with the position of the stars, etc. The ages, we're in the Piscean age, the age of Jesus, the fish, etc. So the coming age, this is a quote that I'm giving you here, will be predominantly the age of group interplay. This is the current age. And then the group consciousness, as the Piscean age has been one of selfish unfoldment and emphasis, personality focus and personality consciousness. Selfishness, as we now understand it, will gradually disappear, for the will of the individual will voluntarily be blended into the one group will. And then later on, in the coming world state, the individual citizen, gladly and deliberately and with full consciousness of all that he is doing, will subordinate his personality to the good of the whole. That's a quote from one of her books, Education in the New Age. So we can see there that eventually the new religion, everyone will be in it and gladly be involved in it. And interestingly, she also speaks about the disciples of Shambhala, this idea that they're cruel and that they have been imposing their will and dictate on humanity through the men like who started the French Revolution, Napoleon and Bismarck and Mussolini, and also Hitler, who lifted a distressed people upon his shoulders. Lenin, the idealist, Stalin and Franco were great and outstanding personalities who were peculiarly sensitive to the will of power and the will to change. All were expressions of the Shambhala force, a force which Alice A. Bailey thinks is good, and emphasized increasingly the wider human values. That's from Destiny of the Nation. So
that's really interesting. Yeah. And of course, she talks about the planetary hierarchy, the great ones, the ascended masters, all are the same. Basically, we would call them demons. and devils, but there, you know, she says, to quote here, to expand the consciousness of humanity and to institute a sort of forcing process so that men's horizons of thought would be tremendously enlarged, which is the whole, basically, you know, lie of the book of Genesis and the knowledge, the book, you know, the tree of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil. Yeah.
Luciferianism rebranded, because Alice Bailey, she talks about the light and gaining more light, all of those things which are Luciferianism. So to recap briefly, Alice A. Bailey taught that there would be a new world religion. She called it the Church Universal. She said it would be linked in with the United Nations, and she did look at the United Nations as a sort of spiritual fulfillment of her prophecies. And she kind of intimated that it would be between 1975 and 2025. She died in 1949, I think, but her husband, he kept going Foster Bailey till 1975, I think. But yeah, so she said it would correct the error of the heresy of separateness, that all religions were leading to the same point. And she said that the Church Universal would arrive at the turn of the millennium. So here's a question for you. What amalgamated religious group has emerged at around the millennium, and this is the giveaway, and is linked to the UN and fulfills those other criteria? There's only one culprit, and that is URI, United Religions Initiative. Yeah. So far, it's the only institution which fits all that criteria. And the fact that it's mandated by George Shultz, who is one of the trustees, is a complete dead giveaway. He's one of the most important high-level hidden government members in the last 40 years. It was mentioned by Eustace Mullins in his book, The World Order, which I mention in my book, that it was George Shultz who was one of the top five men running the hidden government. So I did look out for George Shultz in Bush's funeral, and he was there in the front row.
Interesting. Mm. Of course, Bailey, too, also outlined the steps, she called it the plan with a capital P, for a new world order. And you can actually find her blueprint for a new world order on page 101 to 103 of Externalization of the Hierarchy. So, yeah, I mean, people sort of think Theosophy's not important or Bailey wasn't that influential. I'm saying I think Bailey's books have influenced. Oh, well, I mean, I've even heard Henry Kissinger quote things that I think that's just about straight out of Bailey's teachings. So they're all influenced by him, by her.
Yes, they seek to hide behind whichever religion sort of fits their system. So that's why the Findhorn Foundation, that's why other New Age groups, Theosophy, the hidden government go in sort of behind them. That's what I think anyway. So it's exactly in line. And many commentators have conclusively shown that the New Age religion is basically repackaged Luciferianism. So that's what Uri are doing. And of course, we've got the UN meditation room. We've got the Ark of Hope. And all these beliefs are linked to Theosophy and the emergence of the Church Universal. So we need to push back a little bit about against this argument. I think we need to do it in a humorous manner and a good-natured with a warm heart. Some of these arguments I think we're going to lose because of just the way that society is, and it's to do with tradition being replaced with sort of anti-tradition. It was René Guénon who talked about the traditionalist and the anti-traditionalist, that the traditionalists are the orthodox faith, as it were, and that the anti-tradition against mainly Christian society would fold to give way then to the counter-tradition. And so this is what we're seeing everywhere. And of course, the atheists, they're helping to promote the New World Order unwittingly, because by knocking down the traditions, they're replacing them with other state-authorized occult equivalent scientism. And so it's all helping to lead to this dreadful New World Order surveillance state. And it goes back to their long-term agenda, which is the breakdown of the tradition to put us into their systems and their long dreamed of great plan. It's the same term that Alice A. Bailey used. And so Uri is part of the effort to shape a new world order with a new world religion in anticipation of Agenda 21. So we know who they are. We know what they're doing. And we can see unwittingly people supporting their systems into the surveillance state. And today children are coming through who are indoctrinated to think that it's normal that there's nothing wrong with surveillance. And so then we have politicians stand up in government and lie barefaced that they aren't collecting all our data. So
yeah, and censoring others that, you know, that promote things that they don't like. The censorship is constantly closing in one way or another. And
yes,
Christians are in the crosshairs big time.
Yes, we have to be very careful with what we're saying. But I still think that we need to evangelize and get out and tell people the reason for our hope in Christ. And being a follower of Jesus Christ does not mean that we should suffer from fear. The aim of all of this mass psychological warfare on the public is to make you full of fear. But perfect love for God casts out fear. We're not going to get rid of these hidden government members. We're not going to vote them out of office, which is a shocking statement because we supposedly live under democracy. When the hidden government actually started democracy, there were too many parties. So they only started two or three. So those are the choices. They are the true creators of society behind the government parties. They create and control them, all of them. There's no real such thing as democracy, in my opinion. But Unfortunately, in the US, the Constitution that the founding fathers set up to stop this predatory class from taking over has really been flouted and removed. And so they control the entire process of government and they control the mainstream media. Then they're making inroads into religion as their final revolution. This is the most difficult part of the rollout of the New World Order. In my opinion, everything else is already in place. And so it's important to know that. But God controls the hearts of his people and he is sovereign. His purposes are working out. And Revelation, we've got there as the guide. And we need to pray that God's purposes will be aligned. So there we go.
Yeah, and that's great. That's another fascinating discussion. I knew it would be. You may as well tell the listeners the name of your book, which I've recommended and we've recommended on this show a number of times before. And if people haven't got it, I still recommend people to get it. So maybe you want to just give our listeners the name of the book and how they can get it.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for that, Tony. It's called The New World Religion and the Beliefs of the Elite. It's on Amazon, and so it should have global reach. Please do buy it. Put a review up on the Amazon website. That would really help me. I hope that you'll join me on Facebook. I'm there, the New World Religion or New World Rel. And just keep the faith, everyone, and try not to get too much into the theosophy because it's a complete minefield. The more I look at it, the more bedazzled it seems to be, anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, thanks again, James. It's been a fascinating discussion. And listen, I'm sure I'm going to learn a lot even just listening back to it again. It's been fascinating as it's gone on, and I'm going to be probably learning more even as I'm editing and so on and listening back to it. So thank you heaps for the information you've brought.
Thank you then, Tony. God bless and thanks. It's great to be here.
And okay. We'll have to do it again.
Okay, that'll be great.
Cheers. Thank you. Cheers.
Bye.
Folks, don't forget to like this video if you're watching it on YouTube. And as I mentioned at the beginning, to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check if you have been unsubscribed by YouTube and leave us a comment if that has in fact happened to you, because it has been happening to a lot of people, I've been informed. Okay, and we also, of course, put our shows on iTunes and on our website, aminutetomidnight.com. You can find audio versions and video version on our website, aminutetomidnight.com, where you can also find a forum that you can join and some articles to read. And as well as that, there is free music to download, which is A Minute to Midnight music, because I write, play and record all the music that's found in our shows, and you can download it for free on the website if you want to as well. Don't forget too, we run A Minute to Midnight 100% by donations. We don't do any advertising or anything, don't sell any products. So if you can help support us, that would be really great. You can donate on our website, aminutetomidnight.com as well. And we much appreciate the people that help us. That is great. So that's about it for this show. We will be back in a few days with another episode of the A Minute to Midnight show. So have a great week and God bless, and hopefully we'll catch you in a few days' time.